In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday before the Theophany. And we also honor our Father among the saints, Saint Seraphim of Sarov. Which, by the way, there's a connection between Saint Seraphim of Sarov and Saint Herman of Alaska. Saint Herman lived in Sarov, in the little village of Sarov, when he was about 12 years old. And we don't know exactly all the details, but they knew each other. Saint Seraphim of Sarov and Saint Herman of Alaska actually knew each other and were connected, you know, through their monastic life later. So there's, so in a sense, in celebrating the memory of Saint Seraphim today, it also makes a connection for us with our very own American saint, Saint Herman of Alaska. Today's Gospel of Mark begins with two prophecies. The first says, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." And this is from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And the second one is, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And that's from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. And of course, this messenger and voice of one crying in the wilderness refers to St. John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of Christ. And just as the entire Old Testament, the Law, and the Prophets were a preparation for Christ's coming, so St. John the Baptist represents the culmination and fulfillment of the Old Testament. And yet, as Archbishop Averke says, the baptism of John was not the Christian baptism of grace, but only an immersion in water as an expression of the desire of the penitent to be cleansed from his sins, in the same way that the water cleans him from his bodily dirt. And as St. John himself said, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Some people thought John was the Messiah. They asked him that. They said, "Are you the Messiah?" Because he looked like, you know, this spiritual prophet, and he was out there, you know, he's irresistible. I mean, people flocked to him. So that's why he said that later, that one would come after him who is mightier than he. And so John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And as the Jewish historian Josephus wrote, the people, inspired by the teaching of John, rushed to him in great multitudes. And as it says in the Gospel, they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. So all who have received Orthodox baptism have received the Holy Spirit. However, it would be a mistake to believe that the occasion of our baptism would, in and of itself, be enough to assure our salvation. Just as the practice of the moral commandments of the law of Moses, you know, the do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not lie and steal and so forth, were not enough to save mankind, yet their fulfillment helps to prepare us to encounter Christ. But one thing more is needed for that preparation, and that is the confession of our sins and repentance, which cleanses our souls. Remember, the word repentance in Greek is the word metanoia, and that's like the word metamorphosis in English comes from that word, where the caterpillar becomes, you know, is transformed into the butterfly, for example. So metanoia is a transformation. So repentance isn't just this miserable thing where, you know, we've been bad, shame on you, and so you have to you know, be good now and get scolded, and, you know, like we were little kids or something. Repentance is actually all about being transformed. So that's, you know, I think a little more positive way to look at repentance. Because that, you know, again, that confession of sins and repentance really not only cleanses our souls, but then allows us to be transformed. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees at the time of Christ observed the commandments of the law outwardly and correctly, but their hearts were far from the living spirit of God's grace. And this is why St. John the Baptist admonished them by calling them a brood of vipers and asking them who warned them to flee from that wrath which was to come. This is because repentance and confession of our sins is crucial in order for us to receive the life-giving grace of the Holy Spirit. St. Simeon the New Theologian once wrote, "As a lamp, although it is full of oil and has a wick, remains dark unless it is lit with fire, so the soul is quenched and dark until it is touched by the light and grace of the Holy Spirit." And here we see an image of what happens in our lives when we confess our sins and repent of them. On the other hand, without the necessary confession and repentance, then the lamps of our souls remain quenched and dark. Well, St. Seraphim of Sarov provides us with a powerful image of this. He became a great ascetic, laboring in prayer and fasting in the forests of Russia in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. At the age of 24, he answered the call to the monastic life, and this was in 1778 at the Sarov Monastery. And after 2 years, while still a novice, he became ill with dropsy, and his whole body became swollen, causing him much suffering. This continued for 3 years, and yet he did not complain. And when the elders of the monastery wanted to call a doctor for him, St. Seraphim asked them not to, because he wanted to put all his trust in the Lord and his Most Holy Mother. And it wasn't long before they came to his aid. He was blessed with a great vision. The Mother of God and the holy apostles Peter and John the theologian appeared to him in inexpressible light. The Mother of God touched his side with her staff, and he quickly became well. So then in 1793, he was at the age of 39 years old, St. Seraphim was ordained to the holy priesthood. Having received the blessing to enter into a more hermetic life, St. Seraphim went off to a wilderness cell a few miles from the monastery deep in the forest. He read the entire New Testament every week, as well as the writings of the holy fathers and saints, and spent nearly all his time in prayer and fasting. And then each Saturday, he would return to the monastery for the all-night vigil, and would then return back to the forest, in his little cell in the forest, after the Divine Liturgy. Well, the miracles and the visions and the prophecies of St. Seraphim of Sarov are too numerous for us to really, you know, encompass right now. But we know that even the wild animals, including bears, were tame around him. In fact, one time some pilgrims came to visit him, and they were talking, and it was customary for the monastics always to offer some hospitality, you know, some tea or some little bread or, you know, something. And it just so happened that St. Seraphim had nothing to offer them. And so all of a sudden, this huge bear, if you've ever heard about these bears in Russia, they're like grizzly bears on steroids. I mean, they're huge. And they came out of, this bear comes out of the forest, and the two pilgrims are terrified. They go running into the little log cabin and shut the door, and they're shivering with fright. St. Seraphim speaks to the bear and tells the bear to go get him something to eat. So the bear lumbers off into the forest and comes back a little while later, dragging some wild honey that he found on a leaf, and drops it at the saint's feet. And he pats him and says, you know, he blesses him to go on his way. So, and we read this in other lives of the saints, that because they were in this spiritual state very similar to Adam, and, you know, before the fall, that's why the animals were tame around them. We also know that he spent 1,000 days praying upon a large rock. And then another time he was beaten nearly to death by some would-be robbers, which he really had nothing. He had a few potatoes and that. In fact, they felt bad, actually, and after they beat him up, they left him alone. But he forgave them, and although he walked kind of stooped over after that. Many people receive spiritual help and healing and advice from St. Seraphim. In particular, one of the most notable ones of these was his disciple, whose name was Matovilov. And Matovilov once asked St. Seraphim this question of how he could know with absolute certainty that he was in the grace of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, St. Seraphim said, well, I mean, the grace of the Holy Spirit is with us always. I mean, what do you mean, you know, that all you have to do is just pray, and of course the Spirit is with you. He says, no, I really want to know. And St. Seraphim said, oh, okay. So he put his hands on his shoulders, and he said, we are both in the Spirit of God now. Why don't you look at me? And Matovilov replied, I cannot look, Batushka, because lightning is flashing from your eyes, and your face has become brighter than the sun, and my eyes ache with pain. And so St. Seraphim said, don't be alarmed. Now you have yourself become as bright as I am, and you are now in the fullness of the Spirit of God yourself. Otherwise, you would not be able to see me as I am. So he was like Christ was transfigured on Mount Tabor, or like Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai. No one could look at his face because they had to put a cloth over it because it's too bright. Many other saints experienced this, and this is this, you know, kind of transfiguration of light that sometimes would happen. And so we can see that St. Seraphim achieved a great height of spiritual life. And so, brothers and sisters, even though you know, we ourselves may not be called to live in the middle of a forest and you know, do the great ascetic works of St. Seraphim of Sarov. Nevertheless, let us prepare ourselves through confession and repentance that the candle of our souls may also be lit by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Holy Father Seraphim, pray to God for us.